Keen to Crow, welcome to the hit list, mate. Thank you so much for coming on today. How are things?
Thank you. Fantastic. Very, very good. Thank you.
Are you in America right now by any chance?
I am in America right now by all chances.
On tour with Teddy Swims, you opened a couple of nights ago, one of his shows. Mate, how is it?
Amazing. I mean, I did all of the UK and Europe with Teddy, which was amazing. So much fun. And to be doing the US now is so exciting. I love touring in America, so it's just been the best time ever already. And Teddy is incredible, and so gaining to do this again for the next like 27 shows or something we get to do together.
My word.
Incredible. So yeah, super happy.
So when do you fly home from America?
Like the 11th of September, I think.
Mate, all summer out there. That's going to be so sick.
And that'll be straight into my tour.
Yes.
Beginning. So there'll be no stopping until
home. Yeah, you're at home in time for Cambridge. And then I think the O2 on the 17th of September.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be mad. Just like shows.
Mate.
All. Yeah. I can't wait though. It's incredible.
Well, let's talk about the brand new record. First things first, I need to know how you pronounce Sha-la-la-la. Is it Sha-la-la-la? Is it Sha-la-la-la? What's the intonation here? Because we had it on the show a couple of weeks ago and I just have no idea how to pronounce it. So how have you been saying it?
Sha-la-la-la.
Sha-la-la-la.
Yeah, Sha-la-la-la.
Right, beautiful. The brand new record, you said, has already changed your life. Why are you talking here?
I mean, it's definitely just helped me evolve like as an artist and as a person. I think I like really found myself through making the record, but then also like found myself like personally, which then allowed me to make this record. And so it's just been like really, really cool and like 100% changed who I am as an artist, or helped me just add that extra thing. And you know, you can hear it if you listen to the first record and the second record. It's like there's a lot of evolution, and I think it just came with confidence and growing and just kind of doing whatever I want to do and not worrying about the outcome so much, but more about like worrying about making good music.
Were you at any point worried about being a one-hit wonder with how big they really were? Because they are insanely huge songs.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I ever thought about that because I don't know. I'm not sure if it's possible. Well, it is possible maybe now, but like I'll never stop writing music and I'll never stop making, you know, like videos, and I'll never stop what I do. So it just like probability of that is very small. So I just kind of imagine, I never really thought about it. I think a lot of people maybe end up in that situation because other people write their songs, or they get songs or it's like a cover of someone else's song or something, and then they have a hit and then they don't know how to redo it, and then suddenly it's out of their hands. But for me, I feel like it's very much in my hands. So it's kind of always been up to me to like write the songs and I don't think I'll never stop writing songs. I'll never stop making music. I'll never stop making albums. And, you know, the probability is much higher that that doesn't happen than that it would happen, at least in my mind. So I never really kind of worried about that.
But my friend, you are not a one-hit wonder. The tracks that I've heard so far from your album are insane. Speaking of your hands, I noticed something. Have you got a new tattoo on your hand?
Yeah.
What does that say?
It's not that new, but new-ish. It's just like some French writing, because I'm half French, and it was like a quote that I really loved that says in French, dance my love, here you are far from everything.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah, it's quite cute, isn't it? And then I just have a moon, which I've had for ages.
Next to the moon. And talking of doing next, what to do next, you went for timeless, legendary. You've been quoting the likes of MJ and Elton John. What pushed you towards this like huge change in your sound, which is incredible, by the way, but what was the motivation behind, you know, ripping it all up and going for something brand, brand new?
You know, I think it was more that I was trying a lot of things through the process of making this second album. And then the last thing that I could possibly do before being like, okay, I've tried everything, the last thing I could do was not try and like just do what came naturally and just not question it and not worry about what it sounds like and just follow my gut, follow my instinct and just like just let it happen. And I was listening to so much. I kind of just listened to music from like those times as well. I listened to like 70s, 80s, 60s, 40s. Like I just listened to all old stuff and I love that music because there was so much more like it was so much more interesting and so for me much more musically like fulfilling. And then when I just stopped trying to do something specific, that's what happened. And while I was making the album, like I was making it with a bunch of friends and like some friend would be like, oh, this sounds like, and it would be somebody I've never heard of, and it'd be like a band. And I'd be like, that's so cool. I'd be like, when are they from? And he'd be like, some huge band in the 70s. I'd be like, never heard of them, but that's cool. They sound like something that I've never heard. I like that, you know? And so there was so much of that. And I just like let go. I was like, I just want to make what like whatever ideas I have. And so like I didn't question these ideas where before I might have gone, oh, that's maybe a bit too this. Oh, maybe you shouldn't, and like I should do this and that. And then eventually I was like, okay, I've tried all that and I don't like any of it. So let me just like do like the thing that's just like if I was on my own and I was just making an album for fun to take with me on a desert island that like only I would listen to, and it doesn't matter what happens, like what would I do? Like no pressure. And then that's when all of these songs started to come out, and I was like, oh, maybe this is what I should be doing because this is what I like. And there's still stuff that sounds, you know, like ish, like the first album. There's still emotional stuff. There's still all that. But I definitely wanted to kick off the campaign with like different stuff that people weren't necessarily going to expect either, because I wanted to be able to evolve into that artist as quick as possible as well.
And when you're like, I was reading about how many songs you wrote, they quoted you said over 100 songs. And even when you actually like gone, you know, this is the first track, then this is the rest of them that followed, you still couldn't pick and were like, I'm going to add some more.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your favorite out of all the 100 that you wrote? Is there one that we don't know about yet that you're like, I really wish that was on there?
I don't know. I think I've always been really like, there are obviously songs I've written since that are not even on this album that I do love that will hopefully, you know, begin the next campaign or maybe the deluxe or I don't know. And there's so many that like I haven't even got to finish and stuff that I'm really excited about. But in this album, there were just so many that I'm so excited about that are some of my favorite songs ever. Where it's Hallelujah, What About Love, The Book of Love, See It to Believe It, like all the songs have come out already as singles. Like there's just so much in there. Like there's, yeah, I'm just so proud of the album. I really think it's a really, really good album. Like I think, and that's just like, I just think we tried really hard and I worked really hard. And I think whatever happens, I really truly believe, like, if you listen to the album, it's a really great album musically, lyrically. It's got so much going on. And, like, that's like, you know, thanks to, you know, all the work and all the amazing people that I worked with and the collaborations and just the freedom I had of creativity and just like let go. And I just like just made what I wanted to make. And I think that was like a huge, played the biggest role in what ended up, how the album ended up in the end. But yeah, I'm just really excited. I'm so excited that people get to listen to it. And like, I'm so excited to hear what people's favorite songs are and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's a blessing to be able to do that.
KMFM's The Hit List, Kent's Hit Music. KMFM's The Hit List, Kent's Hit Music.
Have you played any live yet? If so, what ones are like the ones that absolutely are starting to go off?
Yeah, I've played a bunch of them live. Obviously I've done some acoustic like versions now with Teddy, but since I've been sort of writing the album, like there have been, I haven't played all of them live. I haven't been able to play them all live. But there have been a few like major standouts for sure in like the live. I mean, from day one, What About Love has been something that people have been really responsive to. Hallelujah is seems to be the one that like people like can never stop talking about.
I mean, that is a screamer of a track, isn't it? That's like, that must hurt your throat after a while.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a proper challenge, but it's like a rock song. I don't know where it came from. It's mental. And then like See It to Believe It is just like a crazy party, and it's like the live arrangements are absolutely insane. And then Book of Love is one that like the fans just love to scream. It's just so like singable, and like so there's just been so much in there. And then the ones that are all out have been crazy, like seeing Sha La 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 and seeing Little Dreaming like live, and how everyone singing it and they know every word. It's just like super magical. So
Little Dreamin' is so good. It did give me really big Harry Styles vibes, like really big Harry Styles vibes, but in the best way, not in a mimicky way, just in the sound of like, he sounds like he's having the best time of his life.
Yeah.
And I heard that and I was just like, he sounds like he's having the best time of his life.
Yeah.
And it just is so good to hear. And the evolution that you've put yourself through is so fantastic. As an artist, like now, the second album is out. Where is your head at already? Because you mentioned you've got songs that haven't made the album, ones you're already writing on. Obviously, we're going to love and enjoy this album for all that it is for as long as we possibly can.
But yeah.
Are you already like, right, the next one? Let's do number two, number three, number four?
Yeah, I'm already like thinking about writing the next album. I've already started it, and I think I'll always be ahead of... way ahead of where I am. I think I'll always hopefully be an album ahead, writing, because I just love it so much. But it's like in a loose way. It's not like I'm not like, oh, this is it. It's just more like I'm just writing, continuing to write, keeping that. If I'm inspired, I just keep going, and I think that's important. And yeah, and then it's just nice to have albums ready and to just be ahead and to be writing, because it can take time creatively to find where you're going and stuff. So I always kind of use the post album kind of time to experiment, work with new people, have a bit of fun, like just kind of like, we call it like speed dating a bit, which is kind of like silly.
Speed dating.
Yeah, because basically like when you're making music, especially when you, at the beginning I made all my music completely by myself, which was great, and I loved it, and I still do a lot of that, and a lot of songs are 100% me. But as you get busier and busier, I don't have as much time to produce all my music and stuff. So I start working with producers, and it takes a lot of time to find people that you work really well with. And then you find someone, you make an album, and then maybe you look for someone else and other collaborators. And a lot of the time I just want to work with my friends, to be honest. I want to meet people that I get on super well with, and then we just have a party and
Yeah,
then
so good.
we make some songs. And so that's what I often use, like the post kind of album. I just start speed dating again, because it's nicer when there's no pressure of like you're going into a room, maybe you've got a friend and then another person that you don't know, and it's not like, oh, we have to make a song that's going to be on the third album. It's more like, let's just have fun. And so I'll go away to Nashville, to LA, London, whatever, and I'll just go around and I'll just like make music with loads of random people and just see if anything clicks, if anyone like really works, and we have a really good time. And then with those people, then I'll say, okay, let's do a week together, and let's see what happens, if we get on. And so I love that part, because it's like, it's because I do find it hard sometimes to collaborate, because I'm very like controlling, I'm very hands-on, and I write mostly the music, and like I don't want people to get in my way and stuff. But I also love the fun of collaborating. It's way more fun doing stuff with friends and like having other people that are super talented and being able to pull everyone's skills and just like, and so I think like I like doing it in that way, because there's no pressure on. I don't feel like, if someone's really controlling in the room or whatever, I can just go, okay, whatever, I'll just let them be controlling, because I don't have to use a song. I can just like throw it in the bin afterwards. So it's a way to like
Throw
kind of,
in the
a way to just have some fun and like,
bin after.
and then you do make amazing collaborative connections, like I made making this album. And I whether it was all friends, like new people that I met, and then we made half of the album together. And you make these great connections, and I think also as you become a more established artist, people start to be more they treat you differently. So you enter a room and they no longer try to be like, here's a song, they'll be like, okay, Kian's actually a songwriter and a producer, like let's let him take the lead, and we'll help him. And so it takes time to like build that, and for people to know that about you as well. And but it's an amazing thing. I love meeting new people, and I love creating with people. And so that's kind of where like, I'll be at for the next maybe few months, is just like doing that. And some of those songs will probably end up going into the next album, and a lot of it Might just be figuring out what that's going to be.
Would you ever film that process? Because that's a, like, Ed Sheeran did a massive documentary called Songwriter. Taylor Swift does a little bit of behind the scenes on some of her albums and the making of the music videos and stuff. And I find the process, everything you just said, I would love the chance to almost watch happen in real time. But as somebody who is, you know, you want it to be authentic, you want it to be fun, do you think cameras you would allow into that space, or is it completely private, do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, my first ever gig as like an artist that was like signed and, my first ever gig as Keegan Du Croe, basically as a solo artist, was like 3 years ago in a club in Paris with like, I don't know, like 40 people. And my best friend came and filmed that, and I have filmed and documented everything since that day, pretty much. So
Wow.
everything's been filmed. My first album, my second album, pretty much every day of my career has, been filmed. So we have everything, and some of it we release, and some of it I think is on. I think there's like when Shalalala maybe came out, or Little Dreaming, like you can go on YouTube. I think there's a behind the scenes, like the making of. So if you're interested, you can go and watch that if you
Well,
want to have.
that'll be me in about 7 minutes' time when I'm have a cup of tea.
It's quite fun, and it's cool to watch it because you can see. I even watch it back, and I find it interesting to see myself figuring it out. I'm like, and I'll be like, they're cutting the trees to make the paperwork for loan, and you can see like my brain ticking. You can see other people being like, oh, what if it was like this, and what if we said, and maybe, and so, I mean, yeah, to see the whole album back would be really crazy. And yeah, I mean, I'm always filming. I think documenting everything is so important, and it's super fun. I love to do that. So.
Have you managed touring with Teddy Swims? I don't know if you know, he's got a bedtime routine. Has he managed to sway you into it, or are you can?
I actually didn't know he had a bedtime routine.
Did
Are
you
you gonna have?
not? Okay. Oh,
No, I haven't seen his bedtime routine.
it's the same as my mum's, which I won't be telling her. He has magnesium butter and
My goodness.
charcoal.
Butter.
You're not into this. I'm not into this, but apparently
Never heard of this.
you rub magnesium butter on the bottom of your feet, and then you apply some charcoal to your skin, and it supposedly makes you sleep better. And it's been reported as the Teddy Swims bedtime routine. And I was wondering, well, obviously it's meant to be private because even you don't know.
No, I don't know, but I also don't get into bed with Teddy Swims.
Well, maybe you should. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this before. This might come to you potentially as an insult because I am not a singer. As a massive fan of your songs, I have officially made I'll Be Waiting my karaoke song.
No way.
Mate, I have been searching high and low, right? I tried Robbie Williams' Angels. I don't think I can pull that off. I
Yeah.
think like that's quite tricky. And then just in the studio here one day, your song was playing on the radio, and I thought, I'm going to give it a go. I'm not going to say it's the best song I've ever sang in my entire life, not in the best way that I can sing, right? But I really do enjoy it. But I like doing some karaoke, and I was wondering if I could get some tips and tricks for you. How do I not ruin this song? Because I feel like I'm ruining it.
Just sing it with your heart, sing it like you mean it.
Okay, yeah.
Get in there, get emotional, and I think it's a good act. It's actually a good karaoke. It's a good karaoke song. I see a lot of people doing All For You as well, like
Oh, it's too high. It's too
karaoke.
high.
That one's a bit higher. I'll Be Waiting's fun. You can get the whole gang clapping at the end, all your
You
friends.
feel like a pop star when you do that. Like, just a little tip for you, that I feel famous. Do you know
Yeah,
what I
there you
mean?
go. That's what you got to do. I would say just use your heart and soul, man. Just sing it like you mean it, and you can't go wrong.
You're at the O2 on the 17th of September. You can get your tickets right now. The brand new album is out. It's fantastic. Go and listen. Kian DeCroix, thank you so much for your time today. It's
Thank
been
you
an
very much.
absolute pleasure, and I'll see you soon on stage.
Cheers. See you there.
See you later, Kian.